The Awesomely Awkward Adventures of Super Pizza, Chapter 8. She pointed out the various monitors all around. This is sort of like the central nervous system of our local operations. I am the one who combines the intelligence from various sources and helps predict when a villain will attack next. I feel like you lied to me, I said. You made it sound like you were just a detective. I didn't lie, I had to keep my identity a secret, she said. This whole time, I asked. I'm telling you everything now, though. Doesn't that count? She pleaded. I can't believe you lied to me, I told her. Listen, I didn't mean to lie. I had to keep my identity a secret. But the truth is that I scope out villains and I get surveillance. I run the operations that allow the heroes to do their jobs. I'm the one behind the scenes, and I'm telling you, I think you're a real hero. I think you can take down this giant fridge. And you just happened to run into me today? I asked. Well, it's complicated, she answered. I need to go, I said. I slammed the door and stood in the hallway. I didn't even know how to get back home. I had no idea how to get out of Iris's hideout. I took a deep breath and turned a corner, and that's when I saw it. It was a tiny closet with a single light bulb and a corkboard with pictures of me. Don't go in there, Iris yelled, but it was too late. There were pictures of me from hidden cameras, and there were lines of string that went back and forth and sticky notes and old scraps of newspaper clippings. You were spying on me? I asked. No, I was spying on Dr. Repugno, she said. But you knew about me. You knew who I was the moment I stepped into town? It wasn't an accident, she admitted. I was there on purpose. I was hoping that you would share information that would allow me to find your father. So that was all fake. This whole thing was some kind of a setup? I stared at the wall. I was so stupid, I mumbled. None of this matters, Iris said. I can help you take down that robot. I have the supplies and I have an algorithm that will help us predict the next location. We can't lose sight on what matters, she said. I noticed a sticky note with the words weapon in all caps right next to a picture of me in my front yard. Wait a minute. You think I'm a villain? You think I'm some kind of monster that my dad is unleashing on the city? No, that was just one theory. One of many theories, actually. But I promise, I don't actually believe that now. But you did, right? You saw me as some kind of weird, freakish monster. I wasn't sure who you were, she said calmly. What happened to what makes you weird is what makes you a hero? Were you just trying to get information about my dad? Was that it? She froze up, saying nothing. Well, was that it? I demanded. I meant what I said. I think you're a hero, she pointed out. This was months ago. I had to explore all theories. What about my dad? I asked. Well, you still think he's a villain, don't you? I demanded. Actually, I still have reason to believe your dad is the primary suspect, she responded. That crazy refrigerator kidnapped my dad, and you're trying to tell me that you still consider him the suspect? You have to look at all the evidence. That was his refrigerator. That was his shrink ray gun. He clearly isn't kidnapped or adult napped. I'm not sure what you call when a supervillain is gone, but he left the house on his own. Look at it logically, Tony. Your dad is a supervillain and you're the only one who can stop him. No, 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 it's not like that. That's not who he is. You've got it all wrong. He's a supervillain, she said. No, he was a supervillain, but he's not one anymore. He changed years ago. No way. Once someone is a villain, they stay that way forever, she said. Trust me, that's what happens. You think they've changed. They seem nice. Then out of nowhere, they go rogue. and they're stuck all alone in the as a kid underground in a lair while your villain parents are in jail. And at some point, your only hope is to use your scientific genius to solve hard puzzles and help the heroes out. Tears began streaming down her face. I thought your dad was a dork who wore golf shirts. She wiped her eyes with her black hoodie. Trust me, Tony. I know how this works. Villains don't just change. They go rogue without telling you. No, Iris. That's not how it is. My dad isn't going rogue. He's not like that. Are you sure? Why did he leave this morning if he's not behind the attacks? I don't know, I admitted. And why wasn't there any sign of forced entry? Don't you find that just a little bit odd? She asked. No way, you're wrong. You don't know him like I do, I said. You have the opportunity to save our town, Tony. Think about the motive. Why would he be attacking the city? He's not, I answered. Are you sure? The robot kidnapped him. He's hidden somewhere in the city, and I still need to find him. Just consider the possibility, she answered. Consider the theory that maybe, just maybe, he's behind these attacks. I shook my head. Show me how to find my way home, I growled. Fine, she said, wiping the tears from her eyes. I followed her for 15 painfully long, absolutely silent minutes. She slammed the door behind me as I walked to the edge of town and up the hill. But as I reached the gates of my lair, I saw her again. It's not too late, she said. I'll be waiting outside. But I couldn't even look at her. Instead, I gazed at the crooked building. I could see how it would look like a villain's lair. I could even see how it might have once been a villain's lair. But Iris was wrong. People change. It was a lair. I stepped into our lair and cuddled up next to our pet python, Fluffy. You might be wondering why we named him Fluffy. He's not furry at all. But he loves to eat fluffy creatures like mice and rats, so the name just seems to fit. Snakes are some of the most misunderstood creatures. Apparently, mutant pizzas and former villains are as well. I pulled out a notebook and listed any information I could think of about where my dad might be hidden, but it was going nowhere. I grabbed the remote, and then it hit me. With my dad away, this was my chance to watch whatever show I wanted to watch. No more Bob Ross, I muttered. I flipped the station to a cartoon superhero.
In a city that never sleeps.
Apparently all the residents suffer from insomnia. I would hate to try to save that city. I switched to the next station. The show was House Hunters, which turned out to be a total disappointment. When the realtor said, this is a killer home, I expected the house to start hunting the people with knives or spears, but instead it was just a couple complaining about how they hated carpet and how they could simply not live in a home without granite or quartz countertops. Boring. Why would they call it House Hunters if the house doesn't even try to hunt the humans? Another show, Cupcake Wars, didn't have any actual warfare. I mean, if you're going to call it Cupcake Wars, you need to at least have a few frosting guns and cake cannons. I mean, I'm not saying that it needs to end in death, but there needs to be a true battle. Think Call of Duty meets Candyland, two games that I'm actually not allowed to play. Of course. Next, there was a cartoon with an enormous mutant red dog. Nobody in that town seemed to think he was weird. I bet he could take on a refrigerator, I mumbled, flipping the channel. And then I imagined the sheer amount of excrement that a pup would create, and I felt really bad for that girl, Emily Elizabeth. Finally, I landed on a local channel where a judge was yelling at a man for not paying his rent. And then it was interrupted. Welcome to News Channel 5. When news breaks, we blame it on our younger siblings. We interrupt your program for a late breaking news about the mutant robot. Choppers were zooming in on the bionic refrigerator. They cut to a scene with a reporter. He has crushed 3 police cars, Mike. We're hoping he can find a solution soon. Any fatalities, Sally? Mike the anchorman said. None so far. But as you can tell, the scene is pretty intense. I'm struggling to see the tent you speak of, but I imagine it would be pretty inside of that tent, Mike the anchorman said. No, it's intense, Sally the reporter said. Again, not seeing the tent you're referring to, Mike the anchorman added. I'm sure they'll figure it out, I thought to myself. The refrigerator lifted its giant leg and kicked a car out of the way. Flurries of ice floated around. The town was mostly empty aside from a few construction workers making snow cones from the frosty flurries. And a group of police in riot gear circled the bionic refrigerator. They took turns shooting the creature, but the bullets just popped off, bouncing around and shattering the windows nearby. And what about Pizza Boy? Is there a chance that he will take down this robot? The newscaster said. It's hard to say. You have to remember that he's just a kid, and if you look at this amateur footage, he has some kind of elastic superpower that's really pretty impressive, if a little bit weird. I stared at the shaky video of my elastic cheesy arms. That's an amazing costume, the news anchor said. It's not a costume, I yelled at the screen. I wanted to stay inside my house, but I had to admit it. The fridge was destroying everything. Entire blocks were obliterated, and nothing seemed to be working. Let's take a look at that traffic jam getting out of town. It's packed people. Our advice is to hide in your basements and hope for a hero to show up, the news anchor said. So far, there are several injuries, but no deaths. However, this robot, he looks almost like a refrigerator. I gotta say, so much like a refrigerator, is getting progressively violent. We're hoping the police can get a handle on the situation soon. I flipped off the TV. Okay, that came out wrong. I didn't flip off the TV. I turned it off because this book is G-rated and your protagonist would never flip off anyone, including a television. Never. I would never do that. I thought to myself, this is not my business. I've never even been in our town until today. They can handle it. Besides, they don't even like me. But as I thought about these things, all I could picture was the devastation of the city. Just ignore it, I whispered to myself. Don't ignore it, a voice said. I looked up and opened the curtains. Iris was standing in my yard. Don't ignore it, she repeated. I slammed the window shut and closed the blackout curtains. Next, I grabbed the remote and flipped on the TV, but I still couldn't get the images out of my mind. That mutant refrigerator wouldn't stop until the entire town was destroyed. I have to do this, I muttered. I was terrified. I was sweating grease like crazy, but I knew that this was it. I would have to stop that bionic fridge. I would have to be Pizza Boy or the Incredible Pizza or Pizza Supreme or whatever. This was my moment.